From WBHM News, I'm Andrew Yeager. This fall, Sylacauga, Alabama found itself in an uproar. The city faced what was characterized by some as an invasion of Haitian migrants, but the reality was much more benign, with only a few dozen migrants actually in the city. Elena Plott Calabro reports on the incident for The Atlantic. The Tuscaloosa native spoke with WBHM's Kelsey Shelton.
Elena, tell us about what you were setting out to do when you ended up in Sylacauga.
I wanted to do a story seeing how a town as small as Sylacauga was coping with what was portrayed online at that point as an actual invasion. And what I found interesting just, you know, here in Washington, D.C., trying to make calls, see what I could find online, is that so few people that I could connect with had ever actually seen the Haitian migrants themselves, you know, on the streets or what have you. And so I thought, okay, well, I'd just like to go and see it for myself. And at that point, you know, I didn't know if I had a story or anything like that, but I became really interested once I got there in this disconnect between the invasion that was being sort of crystallized online versus what was actually happening in the streets of Sylacauga.
Wow, that's so interesting. And it's even more interesting that you say it's such a small town because you came across a variety of strong voices. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the people that you met?
I will say first that a lot of the strong voices, especially when it came to, you know, fear about the presence of Haitian migrants and, you know, what was already happening in Sylacauga in their view, so much of that is generated online in these Facebook groups that are actively used. So what I do find to be true in Sylacauga, as in so many places in America today, is that essentially these alternate universes are created and fueled often through Facebook when it comes to, you know, hyper-local communities.
I was going to ask you how you thought that this kind of conspiratorial mindset kind of clouded this town. But so you think it's the internet, you think it's Facebook and things like that?
It is. And it's, I'm so glad you brought that up, because one reason I was interested in doing a story like this as well is because I became really fascinated by the anatomy of a rumor. You know, what was ground zero for this? What I ended up finding was that in this city of Albertville, which is 85 miles north, people had started spotting buses picking up and unloading what appeared then to be Haitian migrants, and they were ultimately, but at the time people were just posting photos of, you know, foreign looking men being dropped off by these, you know, chartered looking tour buses. And that is what I think really picked up on Facebook, people wondering who these people are, where are they coming from. That's where the conspiracies began, that these are migrants that the federal government is busing in to kind of overwhelm communities.
Well, now I want to ask you a little bit about the Haitian migrants that you spoke to. Why do you think they wanted to maintain anonymity in your piece?
The primary reason that I've landed on is they are not unaware of kind of the panic that has surrounded their arrival. And what City Council President Tiffany Nix was telling me was that the first time she visited with many of them at the house they live in, their first instinct was to just go and show her their papers and just sort of make clear, we don't want handouts. You know, we're not looking for anything for free. We just want to work. And what was striking to me about that is that there seems to be, to me, quite understandably, a bit of a defensiveness on their part where they're saying, we don't view ourselves as special. We just want to keep our head down and sort of live the same basic life that most of you all do. I just saw it as indicative of what they've experienced so far and the fact that they just really are looking not to draw more attention to themselves.
I really loved your quote in the piece where you say something to the effect of work, Walmart, church, home. That's a tempo that so many Alabamians are familiar with. Why did you want to kind of connect that tempo to what Haitian migrants are just, you know, essentially saying that's all they want?
I was just struck by, in my conversation with, you know, half a dozen of the migrants themselves, how similar their daily rhythms of life sounded, which I think gets at what the migrants themselves have tried to communicate, that we are not here to cause chaos. If anything, we're just trying to live in many ways the same lives as you are. I think it's the reason why we've gotten to a point where the media has sort of moved on from Sylacauga. There are no more Fox News segments about the invasion underway there, because at a certain point, I think it's difficult for residents to simply ignore the kind of calm and unchanged nature of the town that they knew even before the migrants had arrived.
Well, Elena, thank you so much for taking this time today to meet with me. Thank you for your reporting as well.
Thank you so much. It was so great to talk to you.
That was Atlantic staff writer Elena Platt-Calabro speaking with WBHM's Kelsey Shelton. You can find her article, The Invasion That Wasn't, at the Atlantic's website.